We are Sam and Parker, and welcome to the Get Us Out of Retail podcast. This week, we discussed what we would do if we had 1 week to live. This was really, really fun to talk about, and I hope you enjoy.
Okay, so the question we're posing here is, what if you knew that you only had, like, 1 week to live? And there's no, like, restrictions as far as money or anything. Mm-hmm. There's none of that. Like, you can do whatever you want. And I've been thinking about this for a while since we, like, started talking about it. And I really just feel like I would spend as much time with people as possible, which is hilarious because I'm an introvert and I love being alone and I hate everyone. Yeah. But, like, at the core of who I am, I really do like people and, like, being around people. And, like, the people that I connect with, I absolutely love. And I would just, like, I would want to spend, like, as much time with them as possible. I feel like, I don't know if I would tell anybody. I would just, like, yeah. I would just, like, know for myself. And they would just think that I'm, like, extra lovey on them. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's how I would be the whole time. I really just feel like I would hang out with people and just, like, soak up as much time as possible. And then also, like, get anything out there that I need to. Because I know there's still things that I, like, haven't said to people that it would, like, kind of suck if one of us died right now.
Yeah.
So I feel like I would just, like, make sure everything is out there. I'd probably also, like, I didn't think about this. I feel like I would write a lot of shit down.
Oh, yeah.
Like, for people to read later. I feel like that's what I would do.
I'd probably spend every night just, like, writing down, like, an entire memoir or something.
Yeah.
Like, writing letters to everybody individually.
Yeah. That's, like, that's, like, my main thing is just, like, talking to people, and then also, I guess, like, part of that is, like, leaving a legacy behind.
Yeah.
That's, like, one thing that I really want to do is, like, it's not, like, a not being forgotten thing. It's just, like, wanting to change the world. Mm-hmm. Like, I always have that, so I feel like I would just do as much possible to, like, get closer to that goal.
For sure.
All right, so what, like, what would you do? Because that's pretty much mine.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm not as close with a lot of people as I used to be, so I think what I would do was just grab, like, you and probably my roommate and, like, a couple other people that I really genuinely feel close to and connected to.
Yeah.
And I probably wouldn't tell them either because, like, I think that would change everything. It would change the mood. And I think I would be like, hey, we're going, like, to this place. We're going to go to an aquarium. And we're just going to spend the entire week. We're going to go to an aquarium. We're going to go to the coolest museum in town. And every night we're going to watch the best movies because we all know that's my favorite thing.
Movies.
Just good movies.
Yep.
I would, like, literally, like, bring every DVD I have that I really, like, have to watch before I die.
We'd watch Perks, like, 6 times.
Perks, The Avengers, Spider-Man Homecoming. Like, we'll go down the whole list.
Yeah.
And just try to have a good time. Try to live life. Because I've spent my whole life, you know, like, in a bubble, as we were talking earlier.
Yeah.
And I've never really done much to live. And I think that would be the week that I was like, you know, screw it, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to have the most fun possible.
Yeah, yeah. I agree, honestly. I feel like this is about to take a turn. But I'm going straight into it that I feel like, with us being suicidal as teenagers, not that it's gotten that much better now, but mine was definitely a lot worse as a teenager. Like, I feel like even when you were a kid, you, like, sometimes had to, like, come to that thing and be like, okay, like, I might not be around for that much longer. Like, what am I going to do about this?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that was kind of my experience.
Yeah, and, like, it's even harder as, like, a teen or as a kid because it's not like you can just go, oh, I'm gonna up and go here, or I'm gonna up and do this.
Yeah.
You're under all that control from family, you know, parents, you know, your living environment.
Yeah.
And it's like, what can I do with this limited resources I have to make the most of this? And it's like, you don't even want to go to school. Like, you're just absolutely miserable. You're like, I'm going to be ending it soon.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't fucking matter anymore.
It's like, whatever I do, you know, screw it. Why do I need to, you know, learn algebra if I'm not going to need it and whatever after what you believe in?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's crazy as, like, you know, I'm gonna, I mean, it's even crazy as an adult to think about, you know. I mean, we could die at any point. Not just in anybody in an existential crisis, you know.
Yeah.
I had somebody I went to school with, and he was doing his normal everyday exercising and just died.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. He was perfectly healthy. There was nothing wrong with him. He just up and died.
Yeah.
And he was, like, 22. Like, it's crazy how short life can be.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. I mean, I fully believe it's important to live your life to the fullest every day. But, like, in this hypothetical situation, you know, if we had 1 week and we actually got to choose and we knew what was happening, I think it's important to think about, like, what you could do.
Yeah.
Because it's like, why aren't I doing this now?
Yeah. Regarding the whole, like, not knowing when you die, there was, like, a moment that really, like, changed my perspective on that. Because I feel like sometimes when you're a kid and you're a teenager, you kind of think you're invincible a little bit.
Yeah.
And you don't think about that. You don't think about the fact that you could die, because it's like, oh, people die when they're older. But, like, as some of you might know, if you know me personally, like, I'm very spiritual. I go to a lot of Christian conferences and stuff like that. And there was one where I was at out of state, and they talked about this girl. It was a true story, that she came to this conference thing and had, like, the time of her life. She, like, let it all go, like, had so much fun with her friends and, like, just an amazing, like, weekend and everything. And then, like, leaving from there, she got in a car accident and got killed. And they, like, told the story to everyone. And, like, I remember that was, like, the first time it, like, clicked with me of, like, oh, that could happen. Like, it could realistically happen to any of us. So I remember, like, that's, like, I feel like I get reminded of it, and I, like, live that way for, like, 5 minutes. I'm like, cool, nothing matters anymore. Like, I'm gonna do what I want to do. But then, like, reality kicks back in, and it's, like, way harder when you're actually trying to do it, like, every day.
Yeah. Especially, like, when you're stuck in retail or doing whatever. Because, I mean, we're adults. We have bills to pay, you know.
Yeah,
as
yeah.
much as we'd love to live in this hypothetical reality where we can do whatever we want to live life, you know. Sometimes yeah. it's a little bit harder than that.
Yeah.
And there's always those people, like, in the comments or whatever, like, well, you can make your own decisions, you know. You yeah. can choose your life. And you can, to a degree.
Yeah. Sometimes you get stuck, and, like you said, there's things like bills and stuff. Like, that's, I mean, like, as much as you want to live with, like, the YOLO type thing, you still have to pay your bills, you still have to do things.
Yeah. And you become a tax evader or something.
Yeah, and there's also just, like, there's obligations that are really strong that I don't think people consider a lot, like family obligation, friend obligations, of, like, sometimes you have to stay around for certain people, yeah. and you have to do certain things for that reason, and it's not, like, entirely freeing.
Yeah.
But also what we're talking about, like, wanting to change things and wanting to, like, leave a legacy and stuff. I feel like when I had my attempt as a teenager, I remember what's so funny about my perspective now is I didn't leave a note or anything. I attempted, there was not a single, like, thing written down as far as why I did what I did. It was, there was nothing. So if it would have worked, there would have just been nothing.
Yeah.
There was one person that knew. That was it.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I attempted multiple times as a teenager, and I think I wrote, like, a short note, like, once or twice, but most of the time it was me texting people, and it wasn't even me, like, hey, I'm gonna do this. It was literally, like, hey, I love you.
Yeah.
Know? Like, I hope you're doing okay.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never sent one of those texts.
I sent a lot of those.
Yeah.
Like, as
I got a lot of those, but I did not, like, I did not send.
I look back on it, and I feel kind of guilty. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, we were teenagers, and, you know, teenagers make mistakes, teenagers do the wrong things.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of me, like, I feel like my friends, as soon as I said I love you, like, what's wrong?
Yeah.
Please tell me you don't do anything, and I'm like, no, I'm fine, I just love you so much, you know, and it was horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I do regret it, but, you know, it's, like, one of those things, it's just, like, that seemed to be the right choice at that time.
Yeah.
And especially before you've grown up and seen more of what life can take you, like, I'm now not where I want to be. But I'm way ahead of where I ever thought I could go.
Yeah. I think that's, it's really good to put it in perspective of, like, what could have happened, of, like, you could have died at, like, 14, 15, 16, like,
whatever. I think about that way much, way too
much. Yeah, like, I do feel like that's important to, like, keep in perspective, though. Like, I think a lot, because my big one was at 15, and I think a lot about, like, what would have happened if I would have succeeded at 15, because, like I said, one person knew. And it was my very first boyfriend ever. And I was on Skype with him. That ages it right there. I was on Skype with him. And I remember sitting down and we were talking. I was just like, so I just took a bunch of pills. Like, this is it. That's I just straight up told him. Like, there was no, like, I love you message. I wasn't saying anything like that. I was like, this is the way it is. And he was, like, saying no and stuff, but he couldn't control anything because it was over Skype.
Yeah.
And so he was the only person that knew. There was no note. There was no text message sent to anyone. Not a single message.
That's wild, man.
Yep, that was mine. Yeah. That was everything I was just going to leave behind. Like, and, like, I feel like my problems haven't entirely gone away, but, like, it's a lot easier to cope now that I understand things more.
Yeah. And I feel like we have much healthier support systems now. Like, I have you.
Yeah.
and you're the most down-to-earth person I think I've about ever met, and, like, I trust you with my life.
Well, you gotta find those things, like, for yourself, of, like, how to, like, cope healthily, and how to have, like, good boundaries with people, because when you're a teenager, it's just, like, the hormones are everywhere, everything's terrible, your life sucks, you're in high school, like, everything is just so bad.
And that's just the stereotypical things, you know, there's people that are getting abuse on top of that, and everything like that.
I don't know anything about that, of course.
No, not at all. Right?
No, perfectly healthy.
We've
had the perfect life.
Yep. It's just like, and especially I think a lot of adults from previous generations don't recognize that. Like, they just think kids are invincible and they have the perfect life.
Yeah.
And they refuse to acknowledge their pain. But I mean, my God, you know, everybody has it.
I mean, like, I'm not going to go into detail about what my life was, but I remember even as my life was, which people, like, a lot of people do tell me I had, like, a rough life at that time. I remember going and telling people, like, little bits of what was happening and being like, hey, this kind of sucks right now. Like, anywhere from, like, 11 to even when I was 17, being like, hey, this is the situation. It sucks. I don't like it. And I was always told, like, oh, you're just an overdramatic teenager. That's just how teenagers act. Like, I remember getting told that all the time, and that was so frustrating to me. It's like, yes, I'm a teenager, but I'm also a little human that's going through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
Like, I remember being so frustrated with that at a young age, being like, I still got shit going on, even though I'm a little kid. Like,
yeah.
You know?
That's kind of where I got, like, into my degree was one of my friends reached out when we were in middle school.
Yeah.
And told the school guidance counselor, was like, hey, I think my friend's gonna, like, try to attend.
Yeah.
And I got pulled in the office, but despite my begging, they called my mom. Mm-hmm. It got 10 times worse for my situation.
Yeah.
But they just didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
They dismissed all my depression and stuff as, like, hormones and menstruating and stuff, when that wasn't the case at all.
Yeah.
I was literally being abused.
Yeah.
And, like, they just completely dismissed it because I was just a teenager. You know, teenagers, you know, just, they have perfect lives and do everything, and it's just hormonal issues, and it's so frustrating to me.
I really want to know how common, like, that experience is. Like, we both grew up in, like, the American Midwest, and from the people I've talked to, it's happened, like, pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
But, like, so it makes sense that our experiences are similar, but, like, I feel like there's a lot of people that went through the same thing. Like, I can tell a story that, like, mirrors that. Like, not for me, but, like, I remember, like, my best friend in high school. There was a lot of people worried about her. She was, like, they literally called her, like, the basket case of the school.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they called her all the time, because, like, she had a lot going on. I'm not going to go into specifics of her life for privacy reasons, but she had, like, she had horrible stuff happening, and she would, like, walk out of class crying and all that kind of stuff. And so when people told the guidance counselors that she was, like, self-harming and she was going to attempt and all that stuff and that it was for sure going to happen, it was the same thing. They pulled her into the office. They called her dad. Like, and it just made everything worse. I remember her, like, punishment for that was getting her phone taken away. I was like, that helps.
Yeah.
That helps a 16-year-old girl. Like, you know.
I remember those punishments. Like, it's because you're on your phone too much.
Yeah, know? Those, like, phones cause everything.
Those phones cause depression, you know. And, like, oh, it's just the media you're consuming. And it's like, no, the people I'm talking to are helping me right now.
Yeah, I was a very ballsy teenager. I didn't like see consequences at all. So I said whatever I wanted at any given point. So I remember having a conversation with my parents, and they're talking about how they want to take my phone away and that they want to take my internet away because of, like, the boy I was talking to. I was like, he's all that's keeping me alive. So, like, if you want to do that, that's cool. But, like, and my mom was like, you know, like, you can't rely on other people to keep you alive. I'm like, true, I agree with that. But that's all that's happening right now. So if you take that away, I'm just warning you.
Yeah.
And I like directly told my parents that, but, like, they don't care. They don't see that.
Yeah.
Like, they don't thoroughly understand. They just think you're being, like, a dumb teenage girl that, like, just wants to talk to boys and just wants to do dumb stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, like, they never understand the severity of it. Like, I don't think they understand how, especially with our generation, how little we care about living, you know?
It's just, yeah.
Like, oh, we gotta, you know, we gotta live to have a family and support that, you know, that's my dream. It's not.
Yeah, it's very, like, that's something that, it really hit me whenever Jacksepticeye talked about that, actually.
Yes.
Because he was talking about how it was, like, the standard to just, like, especially where he was from, to just, like, grow up and have a family. Like, that's just what you do.
Yeah.
And then he got into, like, the whole internet thing, and it's like, there's more. That's so cool.
Exactly.
Like,
I remember that. I remember him talking about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was a big point in my life. I was like, you're right. I was like, that's not exactly what I want. I want to do cool stuff. Like,
exactly.
I want to do stuff like you. That's so neat.
No, I remember being, like, 16 or whatever age and, like, watching, like, Markiplier and Jacksepticeye yep. talk about reasons to live. And, like, sometimes that's really what you need to hear.
Oh, yeah. I stand by it 100% that, like, the content creators that I watched when I was anywhere from 12 to 18, 100% saved my life.
Yeah.
And I straight up told, like, I've met Bob and Wade, which, if you guys don't know, they're friends with Jack and Mark. And so, like, I straight up told them that. I went on this, like, long rant at age, like, 15 about, like, how they saved my life yes. and their content saved my life. And, like, that really hasn't stopped. Like, I think content is such a huge thing for our generation because it truly does save lives.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 20 now. I started watching the Dream SMP at 19. And when I sent Dream a letter, I literally said, like, listen, dude, you saved my life.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's just, like, nonstop. And I feel like that's what the older generation is so out of touch and does not understand.
Agreed.
The phones are not, like, poisoning your minds. They're, like, actually saving our lives. And, like, the thing that frustrated me so much about watching Jack and Mark is I learned so much from them. Like, I always say that they raised me. And I was like, if anything, I'm learning positive things yeah. on here and not negative things. That's what's so frustrating to me.
I agree. I mean, to round it back up to what we were talking about.
Yeah.
I think one other thing that would be really cool to do in that week
mm-hmm.
was to, like, reach out to people.
Yeah.
Like those creators.
Yeah.
And, like, who knows? They may never see that, or they might, you know?
Yeah.
And they can maybe project your story out into the world. Because, like, we were talking about wanting to kind of leave a legacy.
Yeah.
That's where me wanting to write a book and stuff comes into wanting
yeah.
to do my careers. I want to leave a legacy, and if my life can be an example for others, then I feel like I'm living my true purpose.
Yeah.
Like, if I could literally reach out to, like, I don't know, Andy Biersack,
mm-hmm.
who's the leader of Black Veil Brides, who, like, his music helped me a lot when I was that age.
Yeah.
And even now, really, or even Jack or Mark or
mm-hmm.
whoever, and just, like, thanking them, because, like,
yeah.
I feel like a thank you goes a long way. Just to know, like, maybe we're dying now because, you know, this is the hypothetical 1 week to live.
Yeah.
But they let us keep going.
Yeah.
Until that point, you know? And
yeah.
stuff like that. And just pushing that positivity out in the world and just giving hope to people.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but, like, that's what I cling to is hope.
Yeah.
And I have my whole life and just hope that it gets better and hope that it gets better. And
yeah.
I never wanted to believe people. But at some point, you finally hear somebody talk about that, and it finally hits.
Yeah. I think that, like, it hits at different points in your life as far as who you interact with online
mm-hmm.
and everything. Like, I know literally, like, when I was in the car today waiting for you to get here, like, before our recording session, I was reading, like, a tweet from Quackity, who I look up to, because he's, like, he's the same age as both of us. And he was talking about how it gets so much better. And I'm like, okay, it's finally getting better for him. It's got to get better for us at some point. Like, I remember putting that into perspective. I think that that's kind of, like, how you have to do it. just to keep going. But, like, also with just talking about, like, if you had 1 week to live, like, you have to make the best of it.
Exactly.
Even if it's not getting better. You still, like, perspective is a lot of it, too.
Exactly. I think just with, like, the podcast and, you know, writing books, because I think you've talked about maybe doing it one day, too.
Yeah.
It's just, like, just no matter what, and, like, just no matter what, just putting it out into the world that there is a reason to keep going.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we had all these creators that helped us get through life, and maybe
yeah.
one day we'll be those creators for somebody else.
Yeah, I think giving it back is really important.
Exactly. And it's just, like, I want to push that, like, momentum.
Yeah.
And keep this, like, keep a live movement going.
Yeah.
You know, and just help somebody, even if it's one person, you know, that means so much to me.
Exactly.
Like, if anybody is, like, struggling, like, if anybody needs to reach out, is like,
mm-hmm.
it means the world to me to know that they trust me.
Yeah.
Enough, or even just, not even enough to trust me, just trust me to give them resources or whatever they need at that time.
Mm-hmm.
It means you are one of their final thoughts in their head before they were going to make the decision.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, I mean, who... I don't know how I would just not help you, you know?
Yeah. I think that it's very important for us as, like, not just young content creators, but also very new content creators who have not taken off yet. It's that, like, the most important thing is, like, if you're even helping one person, then that's doing something.
Exactly.
Like, I think that's how you have to keep in perspective when you see, like, that things get 2 and 3 views. That's just how you have to see it. It's like, well, at least we're reaching someone.
Exactly.
You know, it might be more in the future or it might not be, and you have to be happy with how it is.
Yeah, honestly, I'd be happy with just how we're at now. I mean, we're having fun.
We made a show. It's pretty cool.
We're doing something with our lives.
We are doing something.
Just retail, you know?
Yeah.
To me, that means more than, I don't know if it probably should or not. It's just like,
yeah,
I finally get to have fun with somebody, and since I've grown up in this bubble my whole life,
yeah,
finally getting to have friends and live my adult life is so thrilling to me.
Yeah.
And this feels like one of the first choices I feel like I've ever been able to make for myself.
Yeah, I agree.
And not live underneath my parents' rule is really empowering.
I think that's what it is for me, too. I didn't grow up in a bubble. I had probably too much experience, if we're talking. Like, if we're talking realistically.
Yeah.
I probably had too much experience. But the biggest thing for me is I grew up in absolute fear and terror all the time, no matter what was happening, because of my circumstances. And to just, like, boldly say, like, this is what I'm going to do, and to have, like, this going on in my life, it means everything, honestly. Yeah.
Don't forget to follow us wherever podcasts are available to stay up to date on new episodes. Thanks for watching.